I was a bit sad when I looked online today. One of the all-time great careers when we look at Australian athletes came to a close today. Number one draft pick in 2005.
Well, if you run through all of his accolades, we're not actually going to get to speak to the great
man. Well, I might just run through a few of them. 14 NBA seasons, of course, the Bucks, the Cavs, the Lakers, the Mavs, and of course, a winner of the 2015 NBA Championship with the Warriors. I mentioned the 05 year where he was number one draft pick. Of course, NBL MVP when playing for Sydney in 2019 as well. We speak of the great Andrew Bogut, and joins us live on Sports Day. Andrew, thanks for coming on. Congratulations on an unbelievable career.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Tell us when you started thinking about retirement, Andrew, when you knew it was your time.
Different points during last season, to be honest with you. I went obviously to the NBA, came back, played in the World Cup, and then followed that up with my last NBL season. Not a whole lot of time in between those. And, yeah, the body just had enough during that season. It was just so hard to get up for a training, let alone a game. It was a long ordeal to get the body right. And, I guess I kind of had that feeling in season and was just pushing through to get to the end, and then was going to try and push through to actually get to the 2020 Olympics. That was the plan the whole time. And as soon as that was cancelled, it kind of made up my mind.
So, Andrew, it's fair to say you endured the last couple of years of your career as opposed to enjoyed.
Yeah, I did. Look, I wasn't really playing at that point for money or for anything like that. I was playing for enjoyment. And the first year of the contract with Kings was pretty good. The body wasn't horrible. It was manageable and it was, still had some niggles. But, yeah, the last season, the 19-20 season, it was just, it was a basket case. I just couldn't get it right. Everything was constantly hurting. And I've mentioned a few times that the point that really hit me was during the season, I took my kids to the park and I couldn't even push my kid on the swing without my back hurting. I was just like, no, this isn't good. Yeah, the quality of life outside of the game started to be much more important as I've got two young kids two under four or two under five now at this point. That was kind of taking importance over my career.
And it's obviously a physical aspect that you're talking about, but what you mentioned there, I mean, that's got to be mentally and emotional draining as well.
100%, yeah, you hit on the head. And I mentioned that on the podcast. It comes home with you. And sometimes you're an angry bugger or you're grumpy, and your wife or a teammate or a coach might not know why, and even you don't really realise it because you're just on edge a little bit. And that's how it was last year. It was just, you want to have supportive people around you. I'll tell you that, and I thankfully do. But there were days where the mental part of it was worse than the physical.
What about Tokyo? Obviously this year's been crazy for so many ways, but did you think about trying to hold off until mid-next year, or is there just no chance you were going to get there?
I gave a deep thought. The plan from 2018 when I came back and signed Australia was the best possible route for me to be in a good frame of mind and good physical shape for the Olympics. I wouldn't put too much miles on the body for 2020, and then kind of, that's been taken away now with the virus and whatnot. I had some thoughts. It was probably at the end of the NBL season, I was 60-40, 70-30, leaning towards retirement. But I just kind of waited out to see what was going to happen with the postponement of the Olympics, and then was even further along with my decision then. And then when Brian Gorgian got the job, it kind of brought me back to 50-50, to be honest with you, because I highly respect him, and he was an integral part of getting me to the University of Utah and my junior career, and he's coached me many times. So then I felt that guilt of like, I want to go again for Gorge. Once I really assessed, I've had two surgeries in the last 3.5 months. It's just not worth it.
So many layers to your career, Andrew, both at club level and international level, and club level, not just here in Australia, but of course, primarily in the NBA. Interested to know, given, are you more a Buck or a Warrior? Milwaukee drafted you, gave you your first chance in the biggest basketball competition in the world, and you played for them for longer. But of course, with the Warriors, you won a ring, you won a title. So where do your emotions lay more?
Well, two different teams, obviously, but I think winning the championship is a pinnacle in our sport. As it should be in any sport, and that's number one for me. We're in an elite group of elite club where only a certain number of people get a championship ring. The way I would equate it is, in Milwaukee, it was better for me individually because I put up better numbers and I was a man on the team. I was the number one option for 7 or 8 years. And with Golden State, I was more a cog in the machine. I was the fourth or fifth option and wasn't as important offensively for the team and played a role in the championship. So they're the disparities. And I definitely take the championship any day of the week over the individual accolades.
I saw some great tributes on social media today from, you know, the likes of Steph Curry and Steve Kerr and Draymond Green, and, you know, the list goes on. Was there someone that reached out, maybe phone call or text, that surprised you a little bit, Andrew? I'm sure your phone was going off today.
I haven't even caught up to a lot of them on socials, at least. But, I've definitely received some calls and texts from a lot of people, some that I didn't even know still had my number. And then, you know, Steph reached out to me, you know, left me a voicemail. And it's been good. Look, there's been a lot of support, a lot of people that are kind of very special people in my life, and also people off the court as well. So the phone's blowing up. I've got a lot of texting to catch up on. I'm trying to text people back as soon as I get them because I know they'll get lost somewhere in that chain of text messages. But I'm doing my best, and I'll try to get back to everyone by the end of the week, hopefully.
What will you do now?
Who knows? I just want to kind of chill out for a couple of months. I don't want to make a rash decision about the next phase of my life. I kind of want to just let it just sit there and marinate a little bit, and, you know, then figure out what I'm going to do. But I have a few different things up my sleeve. The podcast will be a big part of that. You know, there's going to be some unique things that we're dropping on there from time to time. But even if I got an offer to do something tomorrow, I wouldn't accept it, just based on I want to make sure that it's the right thing. I don't want to feel like I'm going into something because I have nothing at the moment, if that makes sense. So just being patient with it, and it'll all work itself out at the end.
Long term, would you look at dabbling in other sports, whether it's in mentoring type roles? We've seen in recent years a number of rugby league players here in Australia be snapped up by AFL clubs for mentoring and leadership type roles. So you wouldn't say no to exploring options like that in other sports outside of basketball?
Oh, definitely not down the track. And look, I've actually done that in career as well. I mean, I've done that with a few footy clubs around the traps, and I've had clubs ask me to come in and do exactly what you're talking about. Not on a full-time basis, but more on a come in when you're around kind of thing. So I'm happy to help people whenever they reach out, for the most part, when I have time, whether it's via phone or right now video messaging is obviously the hot thing with the virus going around. So yeah, definitely. But I will get involved in basketball. I will be involved in some capacity. It's just a matter of I don't want to be traveling all around the world still with two young kids. You know, I want to kind of settle down to a normal day-to-day life and then see how things go from there.
There's probably a couple of leadership positions available at your beloved Bombers, Andrew.
More than a few, I reckon. It hasn't been a great 20 years now. I think almost two decades since I've had a fair bit of success. So hopefully we can get back on track. I mean, pro sport, you know, when you're in that bubble like the Bombers were in the 90s, where winning was the norm, you take it for granted. And I think the fans and the club probably did at times, and now we're nowhere near that. So hopefully we can get back on track. But we have a long way to go culturally and whatnot, and hopefully that can all start to get fixed.
Any regrets?
The only one would just be probably not enjoying it as much as I should have, if that makes sense. When you're in the bubble as a professional athlete, as you boys would know, I mean, you're so focused on a bad game you just had, or a loss, or the next thing, that you're not really enjoying the moment as much as you should. You get enjoyment out of it, but not as much as you should. So that's probably the only regret. But in saying that, now I'm one of the old buggers, so now you can reminisce and talk about back in my day and have those fun conversations, and that's what it's all about when you're done playing, I reckon.
Toughest opponent?
Toughest opponent. I mean, for me, Yao Ming always kind of gave me fits, just because he was 7'6" and had the shooting touch of a shooting guard. So he really gave me a lot of problems. So he'd be the one that I'd probably put down first.
Favorite teammate?
Favorite teammate? There's an endless list. I mean, I was really close to Argentinian fellow by the name of Carlos Delfino when I was in Milwaukee. And then Golden State, it was three or four guys. I mean, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes. I mean, Draymond Green. We had a poker game that we played in on the plane, a bunch of us. So, there's a bunch of different guys. It kind of depends on what you're looking to do, actually. you're looking to go and hit the clubs, there's a few guys you go to. And if you're looking to play poker, there's a few guys. If you're looking to just get a quiet meal, there's a few guys. So you got to kind of mix it up a little bit.
And just finally, well, final one from me. Given how many games you've actually played with, what's it, 82 games plus playoffs for an NBA season, I mean, does it apply across all sports where we hear retiring greats say to the youngsters and say to the general audience, it went so quick? Has it gone so quick for you? Or and a lot of them say, well, it just seemed like a bit of a blur, and now is the time to reminisce and reflect.
Well, right now, yeah, it does. I mean, when you're in the moment, you don't think it's going fast because all the eyes are on you. But, yeah, it definitely flies by, just considering the fact that I felt like I was just going to the University of Utah the other day and getting off a plane and meeting a coach that I'd never met and meeting all new people, and now I'm retired. So it does go quick. And that's just a part of sport. When you're in that moment, at that next phase mentality, the next game, the next flight, the next road trip, you're not kind of enjoying that moment to just be still and really take it in. And then all of a sudden you look back and you're like, where did it all go? So I definitely would agree with that. It does go quick when you're at this point.
And I'm sure you'll be an avid participant in the NBL, whether that's just as a fan or at a club doing some work. Are you happy with the position that Australian basketball is in?
Yeah, well, I have ownership stake now in the Sydney Kings. Obviously, once I retire,